So once again, folks, just welcome to all of you. Glad you're here. And it's an honor and a privilege to be able to address you here tonight for the few minutes that are given to me here. And once again, maybe tonight, some lives will be changed as we celebrate this sacred liturgy. But let me first try to guess a little bit where some of you are right now as you sit there. Maybe some of you are here tonight because a family member invited you to come and you thought, well, for one night I can make that person happy. And so you're here to join us for this liturgy here tonight. And God bless you for coming. Maybe you are here tonight because someone from the parish of Our Mother's Sorrows gave you one of these ornaments like this, which we passed out the last couple weeks, to invite people to come to our parish for this sacred liturgy. Maybe you took one, and maybe you're here tonight because you were invited by one of our parishioners here, and welcome to all of you for that. Maybe some of you are here because it's simply family tradition. Come to the 4 o'clock Mass, and thank you for making us part of your family tradition. Maybe some of you are here tonight, they'll go to Mass pretty much Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And right now you're kind of scrunched between two people. Maybe you don't even know sure who they are. You're scrunched there, but usually you sit in a special spot. Maybe a spot right over there or a spot right over there, and you're like, somebody sitting in my spot, you know, here tonight. Maybe you're here tonight thinking right now, what am I going to get for Christmas this year? Or did I miss anybody? Did I buy too much? Did I buy too little? Or maybe you're here tonight thinking right now, how am I ever going to get that ham done or cooked, that turkey baked, all those dishes done for the family dinner I'm doing tonight or tomorrow? Or maybe you're here tonight wondering how you're ever going to tolerate Uncle Billy or Aunt Alice or some other family member for the whole day tomorrow. Maybe that's why you're here tonight thinking. And if just to humor me for a second, if that applies to anybody here, all those things I mentioned, could you kind of just raise your hand if that applies to you, anybody? Is that all? Is that it? All the honest ones, you know, that raised their hand there. This guy here raised his hand. Okay. Well, welcome all of you. We're glad you're here. And maybe some of you are thinking, I hope he doesn't talk too long, you know, in the homily here today. And I don't plan to do that. But I want to address you tonight, and I have two things I really want to share with you this evening in this liturgy as it unfolds. And the first one requires me to share with you a story. Her name is Antonia Brenner. She died October 17th, 2013, after spending 30 years in prison, even though she never committed a crime. She gave up her life in glamorous life in Beverly Hills, California, and no one would take her in as a religious, so she took these private vows, and she voluntarily moved into the infamous La Mesa prison in Tijuana, Mexico, to live as an inmate there so she would be able to live among those prisoners. Remarkable. But let me back up for a second, tell you a little bit more about Antonia Brenner. When she was born, her name was Mary Clark. She was married twice, divorced twice, had 7 kids. She lived in a mansion in Beverly Hills, and she would hobnob with the rich and famous. And one day in 1969, she had this dream, kind of like Joseph had a dream. But an angel didn't appear to her, but Jesus himself, she claimed, appeared to her. And from that moment on, from that dream, she believed that she was somehow called to service with God. During her second divorce, this priest invited her to come and help him in his ministry at La Mesa prison in Tijuana. And she volunteered to go there. And I just got to tell you that, as you can imagine, La Mesa prison is one of the more brutal, violent places you and I can begin to imagine. With 8,000 inmates, Remained 8,000 prisoners in a prison meant for about 4,000 people. All the while she's volunteering in all of this, she's thinking to herself, there's got to be something more. There's got to be something more. But no one would take her in religion. Who would take a 50-some-year-old person who's divorced twice in a religious community? So she takes her own vows, gets permission to be able to move into the prison, and she does. And reflecting upon that later, she said one time, when she finally moved into a cell and lived in the women's section of the prison, she said, this is the first time I felt like I was home in my entire life. Imagine that, living in prison and feel like you're at home the first time in your life. And she lived in a mansion in Beverly Hills. She would walk around the prison freely amongst drug dealers, gang members, murderers, criminals of all kinds. Oftentimes, her very presence would quell violence that's about to start. And she was called the prison angel. Or as many of the prisoners themselves, who never knew what it was like to have a loving parent, they would simply call her mama, or they would call her mother Antonia. So why the story? If you will permit, Mother Antonia is an image of God for me here tonight. And you and I here tonight are those prisoners in this wounded, broken, oftentimes very violent world. Mother Antonia is God's yearning passion for us tattered inmates with our tattered lives, our tattered relationships, our tattered hearts, our tattered wounds, and our tattered sins. Mother Antonia is God reaching out, determined to hug each and every one of you. God, Mother Antonia is a God who not only comes to visit us here tonight, but he came to stay, and he's here tonight in this place. Mother Antonia, if you're willing, is that fiery baby in a manger who loves, desperately loves you, and loves you, and loves you, and loves you, and all of you. So my point, my first point tonight, Christmas isn't sweet. Christmas isn't sentimental. Christmas isn't soft. It's about a fiery baby laying in a feeding trough, folks. Laying in a feeding trough. Dirt poor parents. Surrounded by shepherds and magi. And what Luke and Matthew are trying to say by that is they were surrounded by criminals and outcasts. Shepherds were criminals. Most of them were criminals. That's who surrounded Jesus that night. He is a fiery, loving child who comes here to be in this place that oftentimes we think is like a prison. A fiery baby who comes here tonight or comes to this world doesn't just visit, but has come to stay and will do anything, absolutely anything to have a personal, intimate relationship with you. Personal relationship with you. My second point for all of us tonight. We are going to give you, as you leave, a book as our Christmas gift. It's titled Rediscovering the Saints. What a strange title for a book for Christmas, you know? Rediscovering the Saints. Why would we give you such a book? But you got to read it to find that out. So hopefully you'll be able to take one with you. But I want to caution you about two things before you grab your Christmas present as you walk out the door. First of all, let's stop putting the saints on pedestals as if they were not like us. As I shared the story of Antonia Brunner, who I think is a saint, she had a past, a pretty remarkable past, like all the saints do. Oscar Wilde, who's famous for his wild and interesting quotes, one time said, every saint has a past, and every single sinner has a future. And the second thing I want you to do is to remember that God doesn't need another St. Francis. God doesn't need another Antonia Brunner. God doesn't need another Therese of Lisieux or a St. Paul. God needs you. God needs you. God needs the best version of you. God needs authentic you to change the world. How many times have I heard in the last week people say, oh, I'm so worried about our culture, our politics are just, we're so divided, we're so messed up. What's going to happen to us? When you get it, they'll get it. When you change, they'll change. They're not going to change themselves. We'll change if you change. And I'm sure that many of you are thinking, what has happened to our church? Where are the leaders of our church? Why is our church seemingly in such disarray? Folks, they'll change when you change. They'll be transformed when you're transformed. It's up to us to change the world today. It's up to us to somehow be saints, given who we are, the best version of ourselves, our authentic selves. That's what we're supposed to do. And inside of every single one of these saints that's mentioned here, there's a question that they ask, the author does. Questions like, what do you believe about your past that is keeping you from your future? Have you ever allowed God to really love you? When was the last time you felt fully alive, fully loved? What prevents you from opening yourself to God? What can Santa teach you? Who are you? Questions like that. Over questions saints ask themselves all the time. So folks, the same Jesus Christ who was born in a manger a long time ago is being born here tonight. Now listen to me carefully. Let's let that altar up there be our manger, right there. Our church, this is our mother. The church is our mother. The angels, that's you. Now, I don't think angels ever sang a song with their hands in their pockets ever before. And angels are people that like, they're kind of fiery, you know. They sing with all their hearts. They pour their lives into it. So there's no such thing as a boring angel. So let's not be boring tonight as the liturgy unfolds for us. And then finally, let's allow mere bread and mere wine to be touched and transformed to be God's very presence with us here tonight, in this place, the same as he was a long time ago. Thank you for listening to me. I'm done now, and I hope you have a very merry and a passionate Christmas. Come, let us adore him.